Brother Dorsey got up first thing this morning, and he read this verse, and since then it has been brewing in my heart. Amen. And I studied, let's see, we went and ate lunch, got back here about 2 o'clock, and I took me about 30, 45 minutes and did some mind-numbing things with my phone. And yeah, you need to every now and again give your mind a break, and played some little games and whatnot. And Oh, I thought you said that ain't right. I was like, man, Brother Billy called me out in front of everybody. Amen. Yeah, it does. It does need a break. And then started studying probably about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I studied in John chapter 5, the first 16 verses, from 3 o'clock until about 5:05. I was a few minutes late, even though I was setting it off for choir practice, and just had zero peace about preaching from John chapter number 5 tonight. We'll see what the Lord holds for us. And I'm excited. I got to looking in back there in my office, and I realized that I had some books on the book of John that I had not previously been using. So they're going home with me tonight. Amen. And we'll be using those. And actually, I read those and studied those this afternoon, along with the other commentaries and the opinions that I take. But this has been brewing in my heart all day. So we'll begin reading in verse number 20. And I've preached this message here before, at least the outline, but maybe not the same message. Amen. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs is titled "An Instruction of a Father," or "From a Father to His Son." And I believe we just read some of the most potent advice that a young person or someone, any person, could be given. With that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your overflowing mercy that flows so freely, that is so undeserved. God, thank you for the wisdom that is in your word. Thank you that we are able, Lord, to open up our Bible. And Lord, you've given us the ability to listen and to read. What a great privilege it is, Lord, to be literate and to be able to see these words and comprehend what they mean. Lord, how often we take for granted the blessings of your word and the fact that we're able to see truly, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, Lord, give us spiritual insight tonight. Open up our spiritual eyes and help us to see the wisdom that is in your word. Give us understanding, Lord. Illuminate our minds and our hearts into what you're saying. Keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Your heart controls your life. Now, I'm not talking about the physical beating muscle inside your chest. I'm talking about this part of man that we follow, even though we should or should not. We listen to the Lord through our heart. It controls our direction. It controls our decisions, our destinations, even your final destination. And the Scripture says, out of it are the issues of life. I want to point out to you real quick that the heart that we're born with and what's mentioned in the Bible about that heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think it's very interesting that in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom of the Old Testament, that he does not say, follow thy heart with all diligence, but he tells us to keep our heart. Because the writer of the book of Proverbs understood that if we follow our heart is deceitful above all things. And it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Of course, verse number 10, the book of Jeremiah 17, goes on to tell us that the Lord knows the heart and He tries the reins. And then God describes to us what He does for us by speaking through Ezekiel to the land, the people of Israel. In Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20, He says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. God has the amazing ability to change our heart. There are not many that have the ability. I believe that perhaps we have the ability to change our heart or change our direction, and the Lord has the ability to change our heart. I just read, I believe it was either yesterday or the day before in our reading, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He'll turn it whithersoever He wants to. He knows what we need better than we do. And so He instructs us to keep our heart in verse number 23, and not only to keep our heart, but to do so with all diligence. That little word diligence, it means this. It means careful and persistent work or effort. This is not something that you only do on Sunday. This is not something that you just do in the morning time. This is something that takes work throughout the day, moment by moment, second by second, bringing in the thoughts of our heart and the intentions of our heart and reining them in under Scripture. It takes careful and persistent work to do this. I'm very prone to allow my heart to run off in different directions. And I know that I am not alone when I'm sitting in this building. And when I keep my heart, or when I trust the Lord to keep my heart, I give over to Him the work and the effort, and I say, Lord, it's going to have to come from You. There's no way that I can keep my heart. I am prone to lust. This is all that's in man. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. So before you jump on me for that, remind yourself what Scripture says about all of us. We are prone to do things that are ungodly. We are prone to go after things that are not good for us. We are prone to follow our deceitful heart instead of keeping our heart with Scripture. I believe the Bible gives us three Old Testament examples of what keeping our heart means and what we can look at. I don't remember the last time that I preached this here. I know that I have, and I know that I am right smack dab in the center of the will of God right now. There's not a lot of things I often know, but I know when I start preaching whether or not I'm in it or whether I'm out of it. And right now, I'm in it. Amen? So the first Old Testament example that I believe that we're given that God uses to teach us on this subject of keeping our heart out of verse number 23 is O King David. Do y'all remember O King David? In Psalm 62 in verse number 8, David said these words, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." David poured his heart out in keeping his heart with all diligence. David emptied himself of himself. David did not continue to pursue his own desires and his own things and follow his own heart. Rather, David emptied his heart out before God. When you get honest with God, incredible things begin to take place in your life. Spiritual heights become available to you that you've never seen before, but it takes you pouring yourself out of yourself and into the hands of God and saying, "Lord, here am I like old Isaiah did, "Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, fix me. Lord, here am I, use me. Lord, here am I, teach me. Lord, cleanse me." Whatever it may be, David poured his heart out unto God because he understood that God was a faithful friend and he was trustworthy. Here's what I know about God. When you pour out your innermost secrets and your innermost desires, God's not going to run down the street and tell the neighbor what you told him. God's not going to run somewhere else and disclose all your private information. God is trustworthy. God is a gentleman, and God is able to bear any burden that I lay on his shoulder. And it begins with me pouring my heart out to him. Lord, I give of myself to you. Lamentations 2 in verse number 19. The Bible says, Jeremiah said this, of course, the Lamentations, if you don't know this, this is Jeremiah crying out to the Lord. That's what Lamentations means. It means to lament, to cry out. And so Jeremiah is saying, "Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for thy life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street." Jeremiah said in Lamentations, there are people that are hungry. There are people that are needing you. And unless you pour out your heart, you cannot minister to them. See, this Christian walk is not what I can get from God. It's what I can give for God. Amen. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Ephesians 6 and verse number 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, old David, he was well acquainted with the benefit of confessing, pouring your heart out before God. I want to give you two passages of Scripture. I took the liberty to go ahead and mark them while y'all was singing and doing such a wonderful job. But the first one is in Psalm 32. David's doing some confessing here, and I want y'all to hear these words he says. He says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Then he says this, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." We have to pour our heart out to the Lord. Psalm 51, you guys know that. I hope you do. If you don't, you're about to get acquainted with the 13 verses of it. Psalm 51 is so incredible because this is after what we call David's great sin, which in our day and time, it is no greater than our sin. We are quick to call old David out for what he's done and what he did. But David, that's the difference between following your heart and pouring your heart out. This right here, let me read this to you. Watch what David says. The same David that poured his heart out. God disclosed David's innermost secrets to us. Not so that we could ridicule or bash David, but so that we could understand that there is a loving, merciful, forgiving Father that will help us through our life when we find ourselves in the exact same situation. Amen. Watch what he says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He's talking about pouring his heart out here. Amen. Verse number 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Yeah. Amen. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You may go through some things. You may face some things. The Lord brings you through them so that you can help others. Amen? Amen. I don't know people that extend more grace than those that have been caught right in the middle of sin. Amen. Them's the gracious ones. Amen? Right. Usually them hard-nosed rascals, they're the ones got something to hide. David poured out his heart. Because David knew and understood this principle that we find in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. David, in keeping his heart, he poured out his heart to God. Y'all ready for number 2? You know, Baptist, 3-point messages, amen. That means we're a third of the way through. And the introduction wasn't even that long. There's an Old Testament prophet, preacher. His name is Ezra. Ezra. If you've never studied the book of Ezra, do yourself a favor and read the book of Ezra. He's right there with Nehemiah. They work together. And they preached to Israel together. Ezra stood on a pulpit of wood and preached the Word of God. And something Ezra did before he preached the Word of God, and you'll find this in Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and I don't think it's in here by happenstance, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Before Ezra stood on the pulpit of wood, before Ezra pronounced judgment, before Ezra got a hold and had some strong words for Israel, Ezra got down on his face before our holy God and he prepared his heart to say what he needed to say. And I'll go further and say this, any preacher that does not prepare his heart before he gets in the pulpit is not worth his salt. Amen. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Before Ezra was preaching the law of the Lord, he was seeking the law of the Lord and he was performing the law of the Lord. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Psalm 10 and verse number 17 says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Psalm 57 and verse number 7 says, My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 1 and verse number 2 says, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 19 and 7 says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Matthew 7 verse number 24 said, Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We know that story, how the winds came and the waters came, the floods, all that blew through, and how the houses were knocked down, but the house that was built on the sand, on the shifting sand, was knocked down, but the house that was built on rock, it stood the test of time. Praise God, you build your house, your spiritual house, on the rock. That rock is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. It will withstand the test of time, friend. You know, the Bible tells us the result of an unprepared heart. It really does. We see the result of a prepared heart, and we see it in Ezra, and how that Ezra turned the tide, and we saw a great revival in the book of Ezra from Ezra preaching to Israel. Man, Israel started getting right, and things started changing, and the nation come back together, and the walls had been rebuilt. They started worshiping God again. There was a national revival happened when Ezra prepared his heart. But there's also a national, detrimental thing that happened to Israel as well, and it's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. Verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 1 and 40 years old when he had begun to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and he did evil because, now y'all watch this, because he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Ezra and Israel saw a national revival because somebody prepared their heart. And they also saw a national turning away and a falling away because the leader of the nation did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Be sure and prepare your heart. Titus 3 verses 5 through 8 says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Let me say this, good works will not save you, but being saved will produce good works. Amen. Keep your heart, prepare your heart. You know a good time to prepare your heart? Besides every day, we'll be on Saturday night. You getting ready for church, laying your clothes out. If you're like me, you wait till Sunday morning to pick out what you're going to wear. Got to have discernment. That's a joke. You get ready. You imagine if on Sunday morning we got all the people here, I don't know, 150, 100. 70 people sitting in these pews, and I get up here and I attempt to preach because I wasn't prepared. I'm talking about no preparation, you know. And if you think that I get up here and just drop my Bible open and preach from there, you are sorely mistaken. We don't just do that. I wish that it was that way. I remember one time we were sitting in a meeting, preacher got up there to preach, and he said, just open up your Bible anywhere you want to, and I'll be there directly. Go preach all night. You expect to have some preparation, some study time. We expect Brother David to be prepared with the Psalms. We expect our Sunday school teachers to be prepared with a lesson as we sit down under them. We expect all of this preparation. But if we're not in those positions, we don't prepare ourselves. I didn't get nothing out of service today. I don't even know Brother Josh even knew what he was talking about. Bless me if you can. You're more worried about whatever it is you're bitter about than what it is that your heart needs. And can't understand why you don't get nothing out of service. Gonna blame everybody else but you. Well, that choir, they was a little off today. That just didn't bless my heart the way it did last Sunday. I don't know if Brother David led that song right. I don't know if Brother Josh read that scripture right. I mean, I know he read it right from the Bible, but I don't think he put there enough emphasis on the right words. If you think that there's not folk that'll pick your preaching apart, you get up here and do it. I've had people comment on my dialect while I was preaching. How foolish. I've had my looks commented on. That ain't nothing I can do about this. Clean it up, cut it off, make it up, but that's all I can do. One lady said one time, you ought not hold your face like that. This is it, honey. There's some things you just can't help. That's the danger of an unprepared heart. You miss the message because you're looking for a physical presentation. You're looking for something physical, and then you start picking things apart. And friend of mine, God's not pleased with that. This is why we have people who go around actively hunting churches to pick things apart because they're not preparing their heart. I tell you this, friend, you prepare your heart, you're not going to care what's going on in the church down the road. You're not going to give a rip about them. You're going to be ready. Hey, I need something from the Lord. I need something that He can give me. I don't want to be like Rehoboam. I want to be like Ezra and get something out of church when I go there. I want to see revival. If we're going to see revival in the United States of America, it's going to start in the church house. It's not going to start out at a football field. Thank God for what the FCA is doing. Thank God for these school organizations. But the revivals, they're not going to start on college campuses. They're going to start down at the church house. Hey, man, we have a problem in the nation when a football coach is baptizing more converts than the local church. Amen, Brother Josh, you're telling the truth right there. We've got a preparation problem in our hearts when sporting events see more converts than church events. We're off track. We're not prepared. I'm not against those organizations. I'm just simply letting you know that when it's more spiritual at the football field than it is at the house of God, there's a problem with the church in America. There's nothing wrong with the football field. Amen. There's the gridiron. Thank God for Georgia Bulldogs. Somebody say amen right there. Except for Brother Billy, you don't get to. That one. Amen, that one. Billy G. Billy H. is with us. G-H. Good night. I didn't know I had alphabetical Billies. I need to quit meddling. Keep thy heart. The way that you do that, you pour your heart out. You prepare your heart. And I got one more for you here. Those of you that was with me through the book of Daniel, you know in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You Bible readers, you know that story. How that he didn't do it. He said, hey, you just give me 2 weeks. I'm going to eat what God told me to eat, and you let your other people eat what they want to eat and eat of the king's meat, and whichever one of us comes away looking better at the end of those 2 weeks, then by all means, you go from there. It's what he told the prince, and the prince said, hey, you wanting to get me killed? I mean, I got meat, I got to give it to you. And he said, no, I'm just not going to defile myself. He made up his mind before he ever sat down at the table that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. And it come through it that he looked better. Him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wasn't their names at that time. Y'all, please forgive me, I don't have their names written out in front of me. They're more commonly known as that, but they had Hebrew names. Isn't it funny how that they when the king of Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar come in there and he took those Israelites captive, he got the best looking ones, he got the youngest ones, and he took them all captive, and the first thing he did was change their names. He wanted to take their identity. You better believe that the devil's still using those tactics. And if he can get into our kids' heads and steal their identity to make them think that they're something that they're not, that this is happening in our nation, it's happening before us. This isn't just something that happened in Babylon. The identity of people is under attack right now. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. He didn't, and he come out fairer and nicer and looked better than any of the others. But he had to purpose his heart before he got in front of the meat. You're not going to sit down at the enemy's table. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You're not going to sit down at the enemy's table and see the dainties, as the Bible calls it, that the devil offers. You're not going to sit down and see that delicious bread. The other night, me and Miss Terry used 2 gift cards that we have for Longhorn. And you know, you go to Longhorn and they come out there, and you if you got gift cards, man, you got to order a starter. It's a rule. Hey, man, if it ain't, I just made it one. But that little waitress, she said, well, you have a drink. And this is where the real tightwad in me comes out. I said, I'll have some of your finest water. She looked at Miss Tara. She said, water. She said, do you want lemon? Miss Tara looked at me. I said, go on ahead, splurge, baby. She got lemon in her water. And that little waitress, she looked at us and she said, I'm going to bring y'all out some bread. And I about had a spiritual experience because I've had that bread before. And I sat there. Now, Miss Tara, she done real good. She got her a little slice and I cut her a slice. She said, well, I didn't really want the end piece. I wanted the middle piece. So I ate the end piece and I cut her off a middle piece and give it to her. That's what good husbands do. Amen. I kind of like the crunchy, so I went to the other end, cut it off, and eat it too. And before I know it, I done eat 3 pieces of that bread because I didn't purpose in my heart that I wasn't. Miss Tara sat there till her salad come on, and then she ate her salad. We went on with our meal, but I said all that to say this, that sometimes when you get something in front of you, it's mighty difficult to say no then. But if you've purposed in your heart to say no before you get to the table, if you purpose in your heart that you're just going to say, I'm not going to participate in that beforehand, it makes it much easier to walk away when you're presented with whatever it is in the moment. It makes it much more difficult when you've already made a promise to the Lord and purposed something to the Lord. Said, Lord, if you'll deliver me, I'm going to go through it and I'm not going to go back to this. Listen, I'm not saying that you're not going to sin again and that you're not going to get caught up in something again. It can happen to any of us, but I will tell you this. It will become easier to walk away if you've decided before you get there that you're going to walk away. It's the same principle that makes church better when you prepare your heart before. If you purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself with a portion of the king's meat, the Lord will have you come out looking better than what you were before. Acts 11 and verse number 23 says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." I like that word, cleave. It means to attach yourself as though you're one. It's the same word that we find that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. It's that same thing, that becoming one flesh, becoming one together, one in mind, one in heart, one in accord. 2 Timothy 3:10 said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." Joshua 22 and verse number 5 said, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." By the way, Joshua 22, where he said to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, Joshua said that before he said Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua purposed in his heart before he announced publicly to Israel that he was going to serve the Lord no matter what. Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And then old Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, I would say probably one of the greatest exhortations that was ever given from Paul's lips. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Daniel purposed in his heart. Ezra prepared his heart. And David poured his heart out. And all three of these men kept their heart. I believe that they did it with all diligence, because they understood that the decisions they made in their heart impacted the issues of their life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you for allowing me liberty to preach. Thank you for the gift of mercy. Thank you for your power, your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible that we can study and know more about you. Lord, help me to pour my heart out to you. Help me, Lord, to prepare my heart. And help me, Lord, to purpose in my heart that I'll serve you. Lord, I know that you have grace for these. And I pray, Lord, that you would administer to them. Minister it to me. Minister it to our church. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with us tonight while we sing?